Oh, what have you got there?
Absolute mountain of paperwork here, Chris.
You have? Oh, you're not been paying your bills again.
No, it's not that. This is the, and I don't really know why I've printed them all out, but this is the correspondence that we've had.
For
following
us?
This is emails, this is messages on Twitter and Instagram. This is some people just sort of messaging me directly on WhatsApp. We've got questions here, we've got comments. We've got so much to get through, and it's come from you. You are helping us make this edition of Nulpois!
Nulpois is shameful.
Nulpois is lack of respect for euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nulpois is no fun.
Yes, welcome in. And if this is your first listen to Nulpois, welcome. What have you been doing? Mm. Why haven't you been listening to us before? Did you know there was a Eurovision? But welcome all the same. I'm Laura. That's Martin. We are a Eurovision fan podcast from the UK. We don't know everything about Eurovision, but we're trying to learn. And in that experience, getting to know all you lovely people as well. And as Martin has said, thank you so much for all your comments. We're going to get through them throughout the episode. But thank you so much for getting in touch with us, especially during the song contest, to let us know your thoughts about the winners, about the UK, about who should have won, all your opinions. We love hearing them.
Cannot wait to get to those. Also still to come on this podcast, William Lee Adams from WeeWee Blogs will be on. Let's start though with a little bit of the news really that's come out following the competition last week. There had been, and we discussed this in our previous episode, a little bit of controversy surrounding Italy and footage that had been circulated widely on social media, which appeared to look like the lead singer of Maneskin, the winner of Italy, potentially taking drugs. It looked very odd. He was sort of bending towards a table, appearing, it would seem, to kind of sniff something, and it was a lot, but you couldn't really see what was going on because there was bottles in the way. They denied it was drugs, and now we have the results of a drugs test.
That's right, and it's come back negative. The EBU have put out this statement saying a drugs test was voluntarily undertaken by the lead singer of the band Maneskin, and it's returned a negative result, and they've said no drug use took place in the green room and we consider the matter closed. And they do add to say, we are alarmed that inaccurate speculation leading to fake news has overshadowed the spirit and the outcome of the event and unfairly affected the band. And it's true, it is a shame, because that really did sort of overtake things a little bit. Everyone was sharing those pictures and saying, what's going on here? It made all the news headlines, I guess, because you know, tabloids love a scandal. But I hope that it hasn't affected them too much, and I hope that's been able to clear it up now. The problem is with this kind of thing, gossip travels a lot quicker than facts, unfortunately. So some people will, I'll tell you, like years from now, there'll still be people like, oh yeah, didn't they take drugs or didn't, and you know, that's the problem with this kind of stuff.
A little bit more news for you now, and this concerns Belarus. There's been a lot in the news recently about Belarus and politics there. You might remember ages ago when the songs were coming out, Belarus's song was rejected by the EBU for being too political. They then resubmitted the song. It was rejected again for being too political. And the latest is Belarus has been suspended. They are out, which means they will not be competing in the Eurovision Song Contest next year unless this matter is resolved.
Yeah, exactly. And it's important to say, I suppose, what we mean by they've suspended Belarus is they've suspended the broadcaster, the Belarus member BTRC, and that is the only broadcaster that represents Belarus in the EBU. So effectively, by suspending them, they then suspend Belarus from the competition. Now, BTRC, the broadcaster, still have 2 weeks to respond, so the suspension hasn't yet come into effect. There you go. It does, you know, it's watching these things, and I know we say Eurovision isn't political, but sometimes it really is.
Yeah, well, sometimes politics gets in the way of what is meant to be a very lovely and warm-hearted song contest. And this is just another example of where that happens. We'll, of course, bring you any news on that here on Nul Poit. One more thing in the kind of news realm to talk to you about. And, Chris, there's been a celebration that didn't feature the UK or Ireland, and people are annoyed.
Yes, it's funny that, isn't it? There's a celebration and the UK and the Ireland weren't part of it. Not because they weren't invited. Basically, there is this Eurovision Song Contest celebration shows. They've actually been out now. We've had two parts, and basically what it was, it's quite a nice idea actually, this. The EBU said to honour the hard work each participating country put into delivering a live on tape backup performance, should they have not made it to Rotterdam, they basically made two special shows featuring those performances. So those live on tape performances we never got to actually see. The little bit of controversy, as you mentioned, was the Irish and British live on tapes didn't feature. They both said they want to keep it, you know, as their live performances. Both artists, they said, want the live performance they delivered in Rotterdam to be the version that people remember. Leslie and James, I think, still appear. Yeah, I was like, is that what James, is that what you want people to remember?
I just really like the way the trumpets were massive.
I just want, I really want people to remember that I got two Nul Poits. Right, are you sure, James? But I mean, some people, there was a bit of stuff online, people like having a go at them for that. I mean, come on guys, don't have a go at the, you know, for all of it is, and I know people get emotional and get into it and get angry and stuff, but don't have a go at the performers, leave them alone. Yeah, Leslie Roy was saying, trolls, not sure what the issues are, re-live on tape. You guys didn't like the performance of Maps, remember? Last in semi-final one, an NQ, ring any bells? So Leslie really went for the people online.
Leslie is not happy.
As you said, let me clarify to all the amazing people that did support Maps, my previous tweet was not directed at you. I was just shocked, confused by the uproar of no live tape from the ongoing haters. I'm so grateful to those of you who have supported Maps, and I see you. I'll be sharing a new song with you very soon. So there you go. If you do want to watch those live on tape performances, go to Eurovision's YouTube. You can watch them there.
Still to come here on Nul Poit, of course, getting your correspondence, and I've just got so much
off
here.
Oh my gosh!
Getting to that very, very soon. On the way.
There was a lot of drama this year to take in Eurovision. So we wanted to speak to someone who was there, who was present with all the drama and gossip going on. So we had to go to, of course, our old friend, William Lee Adams from Wee Wee Blogs, who was backstage while everything was going on. How are you, William? It feels like it's been a lifetime ago since Eurovision.
Absolutely. Hello, Laura. Hello, Martin.
Hello.
Great to see you guys. So nice to catch up. It does feel like we've been through the trenches. My goodness. This Eurovision was a Eurovision like no other. The masks, you know, wearing very thick masks while running around the press room with a microphone. But it was just such a strange atmosphere. I'm still coming to terms with all of it. I can't believe it's come and gone and we've all survived. And thankfully, you know, as far as I know, no press members have contracted COVID.
That's good.
And for the most part, the singers were healthy too. So it's a brilliant outcome.
Yeah.
Obviously, from what we saw, you'd almost not know that there was a pandemic going on from what you saw on the screen. But presumably that's very, very different behind, as you alluded to, with the masks and we know the testing. And presumably you're quarantining right now, I'm guessing, if you've just come back from the Netherlands.
Yeah. I'm at day six, I think. My cat is getting very familiar with me. Not really had any fresh air. The testing is a really good point you brought up, because every 48 hours we were getting tested. They jab you with the swab up your nose, and your nose does get raw after a few sessions. So it became almost, I was like Pavlov's dog. When someone said it was time for testing, I would start crying, because when they stick up your nose, your eyes start to water. And yeah, it's been a lot of testing.
Thank you for doing it, because
yes,
you are the perfect person to speak to, and we're so glad that you went, because you can give us all the goss. What was going on backstage during the whole Eurovision, but particularly when it got so tense at the end?
Yeah, and I think we should allude to, I mean, you had this great reaction video that we'll just play a little clip of now, when you were just reacting backstage to getting those four Nul Poit. Let's hear a clip of that.
Oh man.
And the United Kingdom gets,
girl, you're shaking,
from the public.
Oh my god.
Zero.
Oh my god.
What?
Zero jury, zero telephone.
That's some Bar Raphael cruelty right there.
Wow.
Zero. That, I'm sorry, that deserves more than zero. Go, Jen!
Woo! So tell us, what was that like?
We literally thought it was a technical glitch. We were like, maybe Chantal's cue cards are stalled. Maybe the auto prompt is broken. Because four zeros in a row, I could not believe it. And you can make an argument for why each of those got 0 points, understandably. That's fair. But for all of them to get four, it blew our minds. And we were all looking at each other like, this has to be a mistake. Then, as we got towards the favorites, you know, like Ukraine in the televote, Switzerland, France, Italy, then we started to understand, okay, the favorites took all the points. You know, this was a pie and they got the biggest slice, so there were just some crumbs left for a lot of countries. And sadly for the UK, Spain, Germany, and the Netherlands, there was no cake. They had the tinfoil. It was intense. It was so emotional as well.
Yeah.
Because it always is when you've been there for 2 weeks and you see who's finally come out on top and you know all the work people have put in. But this year in particular, the tension around the pandemic, you know, when artists started testing positive, there was a real mood change. Because the first week, we were all minding social distance and we were all staying apart. But the first week, artists were kind of roaming into the press center. There was a sense of we're safe. But that second week, delegations understandably were like, okay, no, we're staying backstage. We don't want to risk this. The mood definitely changed. And so to go through all of that and then have a winner, any winner, it was just a moment of euphoria. And we were going up, 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 up.
But yeah, I can totally. I mean, we were saying this on the podcast as well, just how happy we were. It actually happened. There was actually Eurovision. Because you're right, especially with the sort of Polish delegation, Iceland, of course, it was touch and go, I think.
Yeah, there was a certain point when we all pulled out our phones. And we were like, okay, who took selfies with who? Because we were trying to draw a map of how this could have spread. And basically, we were like, oh, goodness, everyone. So everyone in this room was at some point, not within 6 feet per se, but within the same room or within, yeah, you know, 12 feet. You just become paranoid and you start to worry.
Yeah. And do you think that they did enough to keep people safe? Because part of me thinks, certainly when Iceland comes along and they had the positive case with the Iceland delegation member, but then they seemed to, they allowed the band to carry on. And then there was a positive case in the band, but they said, oh, it's okay, only two members of the band would need to isolate and the others could carry on. And I thought, but hold on, even in that rehearsal footage, they're right next to each other.
Yeah, you know, there's
one of them who then went on to test positive later.
It's scary. I think generally, if we, stepping back from that example just for a second, generally, yes, I think the organizers did a great job and they were very mindful. We had people stopping by saying masks on, because you do forget, you know, if you're working quite intensely and you're running, sometimes, you know, a mask would slip off your face and you're working and you forget. So they were doing a really good job policing it. However, I think a lot of it does come down to the artist and their delegations following the rules. Like the EBU was constantly sending reminders and trying to remind people, you know, keep your distance, etc. But you know, the artists are very exuberant, excited. We saw this on the turquoise carpet. It became like a traffic jam, or as some people on Twitter said, a COVID tunnel, because you had big groups of people and everyone's really enthusiastic. And then they were bumping up against another delegation. And it's like, guys, whoa, yeah, you six that way, you six that way. Yeah, I think there were moments where people got wrapped up in the kind of euphoria of being among people. And that comes down to like the individual delegations and individual artists. And the EBU did what they could do, but there's only so much you can do because you can't have eyes on every single person at all times.
Let's move away from the COVID stuff, because we could talk for ages about that. Let's talk more about Eurovision itself. We've got to talk, especially for Laura and I, about the UK's performance.
Yeah. What I'd like to know is, was there a feeling it was going to do as badly as it did before those points were announced? Or was it still a shock? Because I think afterwards, I think straight after, both Martin and I were a little bit shocked. And then, like you say, like a day after, we were like, well, actually, it makes sense. I can understand why. But when the performance came out, did everyone think, well, that's definitely going to be bottom? Or what was the feeling around everyone?
So there was a definite progression. So after his first rehearsals, there wasn't this overwhelming negativity. People were like, okay, they can work with this. They can improve on this. Then when I got in the arena for the grand final itself, the energy in the audience it changed in the wrong direction. People were quiet. People weren't clapping. People didn't have that joyous feeling that they had for the acts that came before. And that's when I started to get really worried. I was like, uh-oh. My optimism for the UK started to kind of diminish at that point. And then when the result came in, I didn't think this was coming last. I thought Germany or Spain were going to be last. And I thought the UK maybe slightly higher. No. I mean, I didn't think we were going to win. But I thought, you know, it could go up a little, maybe like 16, 17, I was hoping. And then when that result came in, I must say I was a little shocked at the time. But then afterwards, rewatching and considering the audience's reaction in the live arena, because that live audience reaction, I can tell you, it ended up being a very good indicator. Because when Måneskin was on, it was electric in there. When Barbara Pravi was on, it was this overwhelming sense of wow. Same with Switzerland. In the UK, it was the exact opposite. So it was a journey. And looking back, I think, I don't know, I just felt like even though they had people all over the stage, and even though they had big trumpets, the stage didn't seem filled.
What can they take from this? Because obviously, you know, straight after it happens, there's always this thing of, oh, they should pull out, they should, you know, all this kind of stuff. And we'll obviously be reflecting on this for a while. But what can they take from this to sort of improve?
Oh, it's so hard. James is a lovely, lovely, lovely person. He was so kind and warm and down to earth. I'm almost like wary of saying anything negative. But I will say that rewatching it, he didn't necessarily look that comfortable on the stage. He's definitely an excellent singer-songwriter, but I don't know if that always translates to performing. I don't know. Maybe his light shines brightest in more intimate gigs as opposed to a gig like this. I think you've got to test artists on a big stage before you send them to Eurovision. Certain artists need to be framed more intimately and other artists need to be framed more widely, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I think this performance, it didn't feel like it filled the stage. And I don't know if that's down to staging or down to him. But I think if they had made everything more intimate, maybe this would have worked better. It's a mystery to me, but I do know that these large trumpets did not resonate with Europe.
I like what you did there. It's very good.
He was very positive as a person. And it's you know, when they got the announcement, you know, him standing up and everyone cheering for him, that was a good reaction. He could have just been like, oh, and like looked depressed. But at least he sort of took the moment and went with it rather than, you know, he sent out a positive message.
You know what's funny? I thought the same thing. And then I was on the Eurostar coming back and another group, they were saying, oh, it was so rude how he threw his beer everywhere like he was drunk at a pub. Because I didn't take that when I was watching it. I took it as you did, like a positive, uplifting moment, like it's okay. But yeah, view the same situation differently.
Us Brits are just used to us, you know, throwing beer in the air. That's a celebration.
Let's look at your personal experience of this, William, just to end here, because you have done what not very many people have been able to do this time round. You actually got to go to Eurovision and you got to go backstage. So give us the standout moment that you're going to take away from Eurovision this year.
The Netherlands inside the arena, when Jean-Gu performed, the energy changed like I have never felt. The Netherlands had been waiting for 2 years to host this event. The home singer was there. And even if the song, you know, didn't resonate with as many people as he would have hoped, and it did poorly on the scoreboard, it had the biggest energy shift. It was magical. It was like there was a volcano erupting. The people, you know, giving him energy back and him giving back that energy to the people. That was unbelievable. I'm getting goosebumps, y'all. It was amazing to watch. It was just such a moment. And then if I had to choose another moment, Well, I guess this sort of sums up Eurovision 2021. Sitting next to Angela Perry-Sterry through a plexiglass wall trying to take a selfie, you know, because everything about this is bizarre. She's like putting her lips to plexiglass. I'm on the other side extending a camera in front of a ring light in a room. Just bizarre. Just a bizarre Eurovision, but one that worked. Eurovision brings us together, right? But we were forced to stay apart. And that tension throughout the 2 weeks, that's something I will remember.
A roll on Italy 2022, I guess.
Oh my goodness. I can't wait.
Can't wait.
It's going to be amazing.
It really is.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I hope to see you then. And Of course, check out WeeWeeBot. I'm sure if you're a Eurovision fan at all, you obviously do. But William, just give us the details anyway, in case there's anybody who hasn't not seen it before.
We are WeeWeeBlogs.com, WeeWeeBlogs on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, but not Pinterest. Deben Adarimi is propagating a rumor that we have mood boards on Pinterest. We do not. So it's not us. Oh.
And on that note, thank you very much.
Lovely stuff. Okay, let me just get out the correspondence again because, oh, there's so much correspondence. We have to say thank you very, very much. We want Nullpois to be really, I guess, a bit of a safe space for you because we don't know everything about Eurovision. In fact, far from it. We are learning about this crazy world of Eurovision and we hope that you are too. And you may well, following what you saw a few days ago, you might have questions that we can try and answer. And if we don't know the answer, we can try and find it out. So you might think, oh, I feel really stupid asking this question. Guarantee you won't be stupid. We are the stupid idiots.
Oh, we are.
Here.
We're idiots, yeah.
And we're going to try and get the answer for you. So if you've got a question about the Eurovision, how it works, or anything to do with it, please do get in touch. We'll give you the ways you can do that at the end of the podcast. But it would be lovely to hear from you. And honestly, a very safe space, this, to ask anything you want. Let's get to some of those messages. Kresh, do you want to start?
Yes, and a big shout out. Thank you so much. And I don't know if I'm going to get this name right, but Odile or Odile, thank you so much for emailing us saying, hey guys, just discovered your podcast and loved it. Yes, that's what we like to hear. I'm curious, what do you think the UK can learn from all this to do better in the future? Personally, I think the UK needs to send more diverse acts. We're so culturally and musical rich and we should invest in that. Who do you think should represent us next year? I was rooting for Italy and I'm so glad they won. Well, thank you very much, Odile. Apologies if I've got your name wrong there. But yeah, a couple of questions brought up there. What can the UK learn from this? Should we send more diverse acts, and who should represent us next year?
Yeah, some great questions. I'm still in favour of just trying harder.
Oh, yes, that would be good, wouldn't it? If we tried a bit harder.
Yeah, and just taking it a little bit more seriously. Let's test these artists first of all. Can they perform in front of an audience of 180 million people on TV?
Like William was saying, yeah.
Exactly. Let's maybe do what Sweden do and do our own version of a Melody Festival and where we copy the voting process to see how it would work with voters. Let's just get people who are good songwriters and performers to write their own stuff. Let's put it in front of the British public and let's see if we can come up with something that genuinely ticks all the boxes.
I agree, and I definitely like their point where they mention about sending more diverse acts. I think that would be great. I mean, why can't we, you know, maybe it wouldn't translate to the Eurovision stage, but there are lots of different genres that have come from the UK. Sort of Bhangra was mentioned, grime. You know, we've got all these like really interesting, diverse musical genres, and yet we always send some quite very plain, boring things. I agree with Martin. I think it would be great. Again, I don't know if I'd see the BBC going for it because the BBC would say, well, people aren't bothered about it enough to watch it. But it would be great if they had something a little bit like Melody Festival and where there are a couple of rounds. If they made it into a bigger thing and, you know, artists had to go through a few rounds rather than an hour and a half show. I mean, they didn't even do one this year because it was just BMG that picked. But if there was a proper public voting thing, people had to go through a couple of rounds of voting, test them out. You know, and then people are going to vote for the ones that they think are the best. So you're going to get the best. If you just have four acts like they have done in the past with the public contests, and you know, we haven't even selected any of these acts, that where have they come from? You're just not going to get the best there. I just think it needs to like go through more of a system. But the problem is, at the moment, it feels like the people that would do that would also justify it by saying, well, nobody's going to watch it. Nobody cares. So I think we're at a tricky point for the Eurovision for the UK, trickier than perhaps we ever have been.
Let's head to Australia now and hear from Lara, who's got in touch with us, who has been listening to not only, this is dedication, not only our Eurovision 2021 debrief podcast, but also our reaction on the night to the grand final. Lara's saying, I did listen to both of you. And, listen to this. Praise is coming in here. You both did a great job of coverage. And, right, we're back on the UK now. I totally agree with you. The UK were awful. I didn't watch it live this year, watched on Sunday night, but already knew the leaderboards, so it made it not as enjoyable. I should have stayed off social media. Yeah.
Lara, that must be tricky for Australians, though. I imagine that must be hard.
Must be really, really hard. Thank you very much for that, Lara.
Now, remember, Martha, do you remember we have a YouTube channel?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember it.
Do you remember it? Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
We do have a YouTube channel. We're called...
I'd forgotten for a minute.
How did you?
I've remembered it now.
I thought I'd better remind you. Yeah, we are called Nullpoir on YouTube, and thank you so much. We've had loads of people subscribing to us recently, probably because they were searching Nullpoir UK and it came up with us. So thank you very much. We've got some great comments. And basically on that channel, it's not us doing the podcast. It is us. We react to previous acts that have got Nullpoir in the competition and we decide, did they deserve it? And I feel like, Martin, maybe we're due to do another video soon. We should get on that.
Definitely.
But... thank you very much to Mirage Music UK, who commented on our video where we reacted to Gemini and said whether they deserved Nullpoir. They've said the baggy jeans with the chains, so early noughties. It's a right old throwback. They also said, what do you think about James Newman getting Nullpoir? I think it was very harsh on him and his performance was nowhere near as bad as this, which I think is fair, to be honest. At least he sang in tune, didn't he?
Almost.
Well, compared to Gemini, though, if you put those two... you know what we should do? Maybe we should do this, is which was worse, Gemini or James Newman, and compare the two, because I think, you know, you would say Gemini, but we'll see. But thank you very much. Let me start that again. But thank you very much. Do hop on to our YouTube channel. Check it out. We're going to be uploading more videos across the summer, too.
We absolutely are. Also, if you've been enjoying this episode, and if so... yay! Woohoo! Thanks! If you've been enjoying this episode, then you might enjoy some of the previous episodes that we've done. There's over 50 available for you to listen to. Might I recommend one of our favourites that we did recently with the BBC's Moscow correspondent, Steve Rosenberg. Also, our chat with Katrina off of Katrina and the Waves. And do make sure you listen to our instant reaction podcasts to the semi-finals and to the grand final as well. Gives you a bit of an idea of just how angry I was on the night.
So angry. And on that point, yes, thank you very much as well. I'll tell you now how you can get in contact with us, by the way. You can contact us on email. We'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions on everything that's happened. Where do you think the contest is going to be next year in Italy? Is it going to be in Rome? Is it going to be in Turin? What are your thoughts? Are you going to go there? Do you think UK deserve Nullpoir? Tell us all these things. We'd love to have a discussion with you. Email us at nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. Love to hear your thoughts. You can also get in touch with us on Instagram, Nullpoir Podcast. On Instagram, just to comment on our stuff, give us a message, and on Twitter at Poir Null. Now, on that point, can I just say, getting fed up of people messaging us saying they agree with Martin, and well done, Martin.
Yes.
Absolutely
come
sick
on.
Of it.
I'm can, not. Keep it
can
coming.
Can people
keep
please, you know, come on. I'm on this podcast as well. Can I have a little bit of agreement and love
Chris,
here?
Yeah, but you don't say it how it is. I speak my mind and the people agree and the people
don't,
listen.
Please. Yes. I wanted people to stop this now because he's getting a big head. But on that matter, Joe Brown on Insta, thanks for getting in touch. He says, it sounds like Martin hated Saturday's version of Embers almost as much as Dupois Liz hated Technicolor, which is strong. That's strong. Thank you, Joe, for that.
Very good. And that is it from us here at Nullpoir for a little while. We are exhausted, so we're gonna go and have a little break, and we will be back in your podcast feed in a couple of weeks, something like that.
So I think it's fair to say we're not gonna be going for long. It might be about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, so don't, you know, next week we're not gonna be around, basically just because there's not going to be as much to say. We're going to have a very short little break, but don't worry, we won't be away for long. Do subscribe to us so you can see when we're going to be up again. Do follow us on all those channels. We'll obviously be posting still on all of those. We will still be replying to any messages we get and things like that. And just, I think it's worth us saying as well, thank you so much, everyone that's got in contact. And thank you so much, everyone that's listened to the podcast in the last month. We've had our best month ever, which I guess we kind of expected with it being Eurovision month. But I don't think we ever expected to be as big as it has gotten. So thank you so much to all the new people that have joined and all the regulars as well. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. That is it then. Thank you so much for your company and we'll see you again on another edition of Nullpoir.